Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We have a very special guest today, Will Schwalbe, the founder of Cookster.com, the best-selling author of The End of Your Life Book Club and Books for Living, and now the host of a new podcast, But That's Another Story. Thanks for joining us, Will.
Thank you, Kara. Thank you for having me on The Clever Cookster.
Before we get started, a quick word from our podcast sponsor. Like the food we eat, not all mattresses are made equally. Most mattresses have the same problems. They retain heat and they're dirty. Pangea Bed solves both of those issues with its copper-infused mattresses. Copper is naturally antibacterial, so it prevents harmful bacteria and microbes from growing in your bed. It also has natural and unique heat-dispersing properties, which helps your mattress stay the perfect temperature while you sleep. Plus, it offers superior support and is seriously comfortable. Head to www.pangeabed.com to try the mattress risk-free for 100 nights. It'll be delivered for free right to your front door in an easy-to-move box. Visit www.pangeabed.com and use coupon code CLEVER for an additional 10% off the current Pangea Bed promo. And now, back to our podcast. So, Will, you're a big food person. Tell us a little bit about your life in food and cooking before coming to this podcast.
So, well, I'm a food person. There's a phrase that some people eat to live and some people live to eat, and I am definitely in the live to eat category. In fact, the moment I wake up in the morning, I start thinking, ooh, what am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to have for dinner? And a huge part of my relationship with food is through cookbooks. I love cookbooks. I read them before I go to sleep at night, and I read them as I'm having my coffee and fluffy cake in the morning.
So when you founded Cookster.com, a website with recipes that are entirely from published cookbooks, what were some of the first cookbooks that you thought you really wanted to share with people? And what are some of the cookbooks that you really think of when you think of cookbooks that were important to you?
Well, some of the cookbooks I wanted to share are books that I just love and I think have the power to make people better cooks and also just to teach them about the world around them. So, for example, Jamie Oliver's The Naked Chef, which was his first cookbook. And I was lucky enough to publish that in the U.S. And what I love about that book is it's such a joyful celebration of food and it's so forgiving. I think a lot of times people who aren't cooks come across a cookbook, they make a recipe, it doesn't turn out, and they think, oh, I'm not really a very good cook, I'll just buy McDonald's. When in fact, often the problem is with the recipe. And what's wonderful about Jamie Oliver and The Naked Chef is the recipes are so forgiving that everybody can be a great cook with The Naked Chef. I love Nigella Lawson's How to Become a Domestic Goddess. And what's great about that is just in a world of people aggravating themselves over how many calories and is it vegan and is it clean, whatever clean means, and all sorts of other criteria. It's just a celebration of the joy and taste of food. But on a much deeper level, there are also books like Edna Lewis's A Taste of Country Cooking, which really is a book about the history of America and the legacy of slavery, America's original sin, and about what we owe to those who came before us and living in harmony with the seasons and what we owe to those who follow. So cookbooks can do all of that and more.
Food is really hard to write about because it's one of those things that I think words often fall short and you resort to all these cliches. What do you think makes good food writing? And what are some of the books or even lines about food that really kind of changed how you thought about what you were eating or made you really understand someone else's palate or taste?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, a lot of food writing has to be metaphor. Because it's very hard to describe taste. We have really impoverished vocabularies when it comes to taste. But through the magic of synesthesia, mixing different senses, through wonderful metaphors, what does something look like? What's its consistency? We can really bring the whole world onto the plate. And I think great food writing does that. So maybe a spicy dish comes on like a freight train through a tunnel, or maybe something that's gloppy has the consistency of a dead jellyfish. Whatever it is, it should engage your senses and your imagination. But when I think of great food writing, I actually think of a sentence from a television show. And I remember watching the wonderful show that Julia Child and Jacques Pepin had. And Jacques Pepin was going on and on about the health benefits of something he was cooking. And Julia just stopped him cold and said, "For God's sake, Jacques, it's food. It's not medicine." And the great food writers, I think, always keep that in mind.
Are you looking for a breakfast that's worth skipping the snooze button for? Thomas's is the only breakfast brand that delivers a one-of-a-kind eating experience with its original Nooks and Crannies English muffin. There's nothing quite like that Nooks and Crannies texture, perfectly toasted to give you irresistibly crispy edges with a soft, warm center. Take it from a true fan. The secret to revealing that perfect Nooks and Crannies goodness every time is to gently pull your Thomas's English muffin halves apart. You can also use a fork to split them. Just don't use a knife. Next, lightly toast each half and then top them right away with butter. Watch how the butter just melts and pools inside all those amazing little Nooks and Crannies spaces. It's a delicious burst of flavor in every warm, toasty, buttery bite. If you haven't had them already, you have to toast and butter some Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English muffins. They're truly like no other. And now, back to our podcast.
There's a certain sort of, I think, humility maybe that actually makes food writing better when it is a little bit grounded, when you remember that ultimately this is something that we're supposed to eat. It's supposed to be a sensory pleasure. It's not supposed to be just on a pedestal. In your new podcast, you're interviewing all kinds of different guests, everyone from Katie Couric to pachinko author Minjin Lee, about books and moments that change their life. In your eating life or in your culinary life, can you think of particular meals that were really notable and sort of changed how you thought about what kind of eater you wanted to be?
Oh, that's my favorite kind of question, Kara. I love to think back on meals and meals that made me happy and changed how I ate. And I would say that the meal that changed me the most was in Macau. And I was living in Hong Kong. I was working as a journalist there. I was right out of college. And Macau, at the time, was still a Portuguese colony. It had yet to be returned from Portugal to China. And I heard about a restaurant called Pinocchio. And it was run by an ex-cop, Mr. Pino. And went there, and there was an outdoor courtyard. And this incredible restaurant where everything was just the thing it was. If you ordered prawns, you got prawns. If you ordered fish, you got a fish. If you ordered vegetable, out came the vegetable. Nothing was really plated. Nothing was composed. The sauces were so integrated you didn't even know what they were. And I remember sitting there having a bottle of Vino Verde, young, slightly sparkly Portuguese white wine, and eating these gigantic prawns, which had come from the Pearl River Delta, and one hand thinking, it doesn't get any better than this. But on the other hand, just realizing that all of this extraordinary stuff was the background for one of the great conversations I'd ever had with a new Macanese friend who was telling me about his life and things that were important to him. And to me, that's the experience that I strive for, where the food is simple and delicious and local, where the beverage is right, but where it's not all about the food. You don't spend the entire meal talking about what you're eating. You use it as the vehicle to engage with another person and another culture.
I'm going to ask you one of your favorite questions, which is, what are you reading right now that you love?
I'm reading now a really bizarre book, and I just started it, and it's called The Evenings. And a friend gave it to me, and I can't even remember the name of the author. It's a Dutch novel in translation. It's a gay novel that I think was written in the late 40s. The people of the Netherlands in some survey voted it the best Dutch novel ever written. And it's just been published, as I mentioned. And it's about a guy who lives with his parents and he just goes wandering around in the evenings. And it's so atmospheric. I can't wait to get back to it. But food has not entered the picture yet.
Well, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. We are so excited about your new podcast and love everything you do as a reader and as a great eater. So thanks for sharing these thoughts.
Thank you, Kara.
Check out the podcast, But That's Another Story. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And don't forget to follow Macmillan Podcasts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram so you can share all of these inspiring stories. Tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking.